What's going on, Bud Mashes? I'm Mr. Gamer.
And I'm Kitty Duvall.
And welcome to SBR Reports Episode 46, PUBG v Fortnite, Pokego on the Switch, and the a-hole that just couldn't hold it in. Oh boy, we're gonna have fun, we're gonna have fun. Oh boy, will we have fun.
Do we really? Well, the first thing's kind of fun, so let's get started.
Alright, so Bethesda released the teaser trailer for Fallout 76. We're skipping Vault 5 and going straight over to 76. Please do not confuse this with Soldier 76, as oh, the memes were flowing.
I swear I'm just gonna get your dad joke mug.
World's best dad bod.
No. No, we're just gonna have King of Dad jokes.
King of Dad jokes? Oh, the joke I told my wife when we got married.
Let's keep that to the minimum.
Alright, so, on Destructoid, there was an article that has been updated, stating that Fallout 76 is going to be heavily inspired, will come up again in this podcast, heavily inspired by games like DayZ and Rust. The game will apparently feature base building similar to what we've seen in Fallout 4, but not to confuse it with Fortnite, not like that, and other survival-themed games. One source also cautioned that, quote, gameplay is rapidly changing like it does in many online service games, which sounds like, I pulled a few things just from the update. First, this is going to be online only.
Okay.
Which is going to suck. Because essentially, let's take out the pirates, let's take out the modders, let's take out all those people. The fact that you can't enjoy this game without a internet connection.
I mean, not everybody can pay an internet connection consistently, but can play a game consistently.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm, unfortunately, like many people who played Fallout 3 and then New Vegas, and then played all the mods for Fallout 3 and New Vegas. When they got their hands on Fallout 4, it left a really nasty taste in their mouth. This was not what they expected. Now, mind you, change is not always bad. But when your choices don't necessarily have impact anymore. For example, if you had a character with low intelligence in Fallout 3, they would talk like they were dumb. Now, mind you, sometimes that would lead to fantastic situations where you would have such low intelligence that you could, you know, just talk your way past a robot because you were literally too stupid to speak anything coherent for it to understand, and you just skirted on by. And mind you, the fact that all the voices in Fallout 4 were actually, like, voiced is amazing. I love that. I know that took a lot of work, but my actions don't have any impact. I could have literally just hit agree, yes, and then just kept on going. It wouldn't have had any difference. Not to mention Fallout 4 VR, while I personally have not played it, I know people who have played it, and it was, eh.
Didn't that come out when VR was just starting to become a thing?
Well, not only that, but apparently there was a huge issue where the resolution that you would see on your screen, on your Vive headset, was the same as the resolution that you would see on the screen, which should not be happening. It should be significantly more crisp up here. But they released a patch and that was fixed. But you know, $60 highly anticipated title, and then a VR highly anticipated title, and you still did that. I've played DayZ. I like Rust. I don't like this online service, a game that rapidly changes sort of thing. I know that sometimes video game companies don't necessarily look at each other. What I don't want to hear is that the single player experience is dead.
Is it?
Someone tell me what God of War was, and you tell me if the single player experience is dead.
God of War was an experience.
Boy, sorry, I had to
do it. I mean, but you didn't.
You know what else didn't have to happen?
Oh God, here we go.
Yeah, I'm going there. Pokemon Go on the Switch.
Okay, so it's called Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee coming to the Switch.
You just said You know what you just did? You gave way too many syllables for something as simple as Pokemon Go on the Switch.
Mr. Gamer, we are professionals, and we are going to...
I didn't curse.
We're going to say their proper titles at least before you start going in.
Okay. So, yes, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, which will be coming to the Nintendo Switch November 16th, 2018, has a Pokemon Go-esque style of play mixed in with, once again, back to the Kanto region. If you've played Pokemon Go, you have seen the Alolan Exeggutor, where, funny enough, the only way that you can truly catch... the Alolan Exeggutor is to put your camera in augmented reality and look up. Like, that's where his catch box is. It's not around his torso. You actually have to look, like, up and then flick. As if you were, I guess, actually throwing the Pokeball. But, moving forward, one of the many things that is mentioned in this is that there's local co-op, which sounds amazing. Me and Ms. Duval, we could play Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu or Pokemon Let's Go Eevee together. Except not really local co-op. It's just I hold a Joy-Con, she holds a Joy-Con, and we synchronize our Pokemon throws. But local co-op.
I mean, that's all we've gotten from the trailer.
Okay, well then let's continue to pick apart this beautiful trailer. The Pokemon that you get from Pokemon Go can be put over into the game, which, again, sounds great if you really play the game. But, on the other hand, I know what you guys are going to say, but Mr. Gamer, I love Pokemon Go. It's amazing, and I haven't stopped playing it. Well, little Timmy, I'm glad you haven't, because one of the arguments that I've been making for this game... it's not made for people like me.
What do you mean it's not made for people like you, Mr. Gamer?
I am glad you asked, Ms. Duval. What I mean to say is, it's not made for the hardcore Pokemon fans. What this is, and what this will be come Christmas time, is Nintendo's cash grab. You don't agree?
Well, no, I agree that it's a cash grab. A hardcore Pokemon fan can, like... anybody can consider themselves a hardcore Pokemon fan, especially if they're from our age group, essentially, you know, when Pokemon first came out. I would think this is something not meant for more competitive Pokemon players. Not so much hardcore, because, like, let's face it, out of all Nintendo stuff, I will buy almost anything Pokemon related.
Well, okay. Then, if you don't like the word hardcore, what I will say is this. Their core audience. This does not appeal to the core audience. And I say that because the last two titles, Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, were core Pokemon titles. This is not, and I say it is not by the game's admission after this, saying that you will get your Pokemon game. You will get your standard Pokemon experience in 2019. This one is not it.
True.
It's like the Pokemon Mystery Dungeons.
Those were fun.
Well, yes, those were fun. But those weren't core Pokemon games.
Okay, yeah. That is a better way of saying it than saying hardcore Pokemon fans, because then that just sounds elitist. And we are not elitist. Or okay, let me take that back. I'm not an elitist.
I'm just simply calling it as I see it. Titles exist for a reason. Anywho.
Uh-huh.
Another thing that this game has is you can customize the way that Pikachu and Eevee look depending on your style. I think that's great. I like that cute little aspect.
That almost sold me, because we all know I am a sucker for dress up.
And you know what? I imagine that this probably will be really cool. Here's the other thing. There is something called a Pokeball Plus accessory. You can transfer, just based off what we saw in the trailer, you can transfer Pikachu or Eevee to the Pokeball and take them with you. And if you roll it or shake it, it'll make noise. What the ball can also be used as is a actual, as it, I'm sorry, la la la. The Pokeball Plus accessory can be used to simulate you throwing a Pokeball in the game. It'll essentially do what the Joy-Con will do, except, you know, it looks a bit better. You know, the actual button is your joystick and whatnot. I think, once again, I really do think that is nice and clever. It's also $50, FYI, and I don't know if it's compatible with anything else the Switch will be offering, but...
It might be, who knows, but I really do... That's more of a... I'm viewing that like I viewed the Pokestepper thing when that had first came out.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something for the kids.
Here's another reason why.
Are people who are just hardcore collectors. You Pokemaniacs.
Oh no, don't say hardcore.
Oh.
But moving on, another feature in this game is the fact that there are no wild Pokemon encounters.
Okay, that part was confusing me because it looked like you ran into random Pokemon that you could catch in the game.
There's a difference. You run into them. You don't go through tall grass and they just come up. There is no more of that.
Oh. Well, there's none of that in this.
There's none of that in this
game. Since there is another core game coming in, saying there's no more of that, it's like saying, oh, there's no, like, when Aloha, you know what I mean.
Right.
It's not like the Aloha games.
No. That's kind of the difference here, is that you're catching Pokemon like you do in Pokemon Go.
You know what? Completely random, but I just thought of this. This is great story-wise of what an actual 10-year-old should probably be doing when they first leave home. Like, you know, not just running into danger fighting a goddamn Snorlax that can crush you by, like, tipping his pinky toe. No, just throwing a Pokeball and you have your cute little mascot with you to make sure you don't die and bring you back home to mom. That's the Pokemon world I think is a little bit more responsible. I mean, I'm trying to make the best of this.
I mean, there ain't much to go off of, so I appreciate your attempt.
I mean, I'm probably going to still get Let's Go Eevee just because it's cute. I'm probably going to get it. I don't know yet. I'll probably start playing Pokemon Go again if it's worth it. But I'm not going to get it day one, that's for sure.
But you could just play Pokemon Go for free on your phone.
Or I can have a cute little Eevee mascot on my head because I am a simpleton. Let me be simple.
All right.
I said it, not you, so it's okay.
All right, now... Unfortunately, what we gave you were the two nice stories.
You don't tell them what's about to happen. You don't warn people. What is this?
So what this is PUBG going after, they are going after any clones of their...
Quote unquote
copyright.
Mm-hmm.
PUBG is suing Epic Games, more specifically going after Fortnite, over copyright use of, and you'll never believe this, their gameplay interface and the use of in-game items. Now, they are taking this in, they are doing this in a Korean court with the lawsuit stating that they are... Let me make sure.
Oh, they're doing this in a Korean court?
Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious. Y'all can't even do it in the United States. That's hilarious.
Yes. So, here we go. This is from PCGamer.com. In September last year, a Bluehole representative clarified with us that it wasn't Fortnite's inheritance of Battle Royale mode that was concerning. We just want to emphasize that this is only a problem because Epic Games is the company that makes the engine we use, and we pay a large amount of royalties to them. And we had this business relationship, and we had trust that we would be getting continued support, and we were looking forward to working more closely with them to get technical support, but maybe develop new features. but our name was used to officially promote their new game without our knowledge. There was no discussion. It was a bit surprising and disappointing to see our business partners to us, and there was a misunderstanding in the community that we are officially involved in the project. So from what it seems as if Bluehost is saying is that they were working together with Epic Games to make PUBG. Epic Games saw what PUBG was doing, was like, hey, we could do that better, and then proceeded to do that better.
Is that really what happened, though?
So, here's the thing. Epic Games owns the Unreal Engine.
Uh-huh.
The Unreal Engine is used to make PUBG.
Okay.
So, because of that, you can see the collaboration between PUBG and Epic Games.
Mm-hmm.
PUBG, to Epic Game, PUBG is using the engine. They are.
So now, they have to pay Epic Games to use...
use the Unreal Engine,
but
yes.
But it makes sense.
Now, the argument on PUBG's side is that Fortnite uses similar structure to what... uses similar structure to what PUBG is to make Fortnite... And let's also go against the numbers. Fortnite is arguably the most popular video game right now.
It's the Marvel. It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Like, it's just about... Yeah.
Yeah, it's like what I had told
you
before.
Yes, exactly. Marvel versus DC. No, I definitely understood that. Now, so in here, I've got two articles. One from PC Gamer and the other one from Engadget. And the Engadget article states this. There's little doubt that Fortnite's mode was designed in response to PUBG's success. Fortnite was initially unveiled as a single-player game, the Save the World mode. Not a lot of people know about that because that's the mode that you have to pay for. Mm-hmm. The Battle Royale mode, you don't. Now, but it tacked on Battle Royale in September 2017, about a year after PUBG reached Steam's early access, and it's hard to deny similarities beyond just the basic concept of 100 players forced to gather resources and fight in an ever-shrinking safe zone. Okay, fine. I can see that. I can see where you're coming with that. That's basically Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
But you throw people, like, what wasn't there a, oh my goodness, that really awkward manga that then became a live action? Battle Royale. Do you remember that?
I prefer not to bring up past traumas. Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on. The article then goes forward. Even so, it is also clear that Fortnite is wildly different in some respects. The most obvious being its construction aspect. PUBG is all about straightforward combat, where Fortnite encourages you to mix things up. Obviously, if someone's shooting at me, I have the ability to, erect part of a building in front of them and run away. Aspects like shield, traps, launch pads also stand out. Fortnite's cartoonish art style is wildly different than PUBG's more realistic graphics, the Marvel vs. DC part, for that matter. There's also the question of whether or not PUBG can lay claim to originality when arguably it's riding the coattails of H1Z1, which introduced the fundamentals of the Battle Royale genre considerably earlier.
To be fair, when someone had sold me what PUBG looked like, I thought it was a Call of Duty extra.
Because it was just dark and gritty with just browns and, like, that was it.
I thought it was a Call of Duty DLC, so...
Well, I mean, Call of Duty will be getting their own Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, now, but obviously...
Now, moving forward, however the lawsuit goes, there will be an awkward relationship between the two companies. PUBG is based on Epic's widely distributed Unreal Engine, which no doubt fuels some animosity, as we previously mentioned. PUBG Corp also had to watch its technical partner... PUBG Corp had to watch as its technical partner riffed on its idea and quickly grew to a larger audience. Its idea. And does anyone remember the terrible thing on YouTube when the Fine Brothers tried to trademark React? And it really seems as if PUBG got super butthurt about the fact that Fortnite did what you did better and for free and then got more popular.
Yeah, pretty much what this sounds like is PUBG started out was here first. Okay, cool. People really like PUBG.
Right. You got over a million downloads.
Fortnite, being the sprightly, annoying little sibling, came about and said, oh, that's cool. Let's add imagination to it.
Or just, you know, some color.
The rainbow.
Yeah, got
my
it.
My rainbow.
Got it. Okay, I'll let you have your rainbow.
Thank you. And it was just pretty much, you know what? Fortnite is SpongeBob. PUBG is Squidward. That's what happened.
Well, I'm sorry, PUBG. I bought PUBG and played it like 6 times. Though I played Fortnite and played it like 10 times. So I'm not like super into the genres. But what I will say is this.
You get dragged onto one more than the other.
Yeah.
Because of your friends.
Yeah. And
for Sister a while, Gamer does have friends.
I do. I was for a while playing PUBG. And it was nice. It was really difficult, but it was nice. With Fortnite, I at least stand a bit of a chance. Not to mention, I like the fact that it's not just, you know, get a sniper rifle, get a ghillie suit, and just sit there and snipe. With Fortnite, you gotta move around. There's traps, there's launch pads. People can literally be coming from the sky and coming to shoot you. Oh, you know, and you know the one thing that Fortnite did that PUBG would never be able to do?
Get Thanos?
Get Thanos. Like, PUBG, I'm sorry, take the L and keep on moving. You're not gonna win this one.
Y'all are in a Korean court, though. Y'all couldn't even do this on the U.S. of A. That's petty. That's super petty. No one's going to care.
Oh, I'm okay. Now we have to get.
Let's talk about something we do care about.
Okay. Awkward transition was awkward, but as we all know. There have been an unfortunate rise in mass shootings. I want to say that this is something that lots of people know about, even if it has not directly affected you.
Either a rise, copycats, and are just bringing more awareness because of social media.
So it would not be strange to say that perhaps releasing a video game to simulate what a school shooting would be, whether you're on the SWAT team or the side of the school shooter, is maybe that's a bad idea.
That sounds like a horrible idea, actually.
So, what's interesting though is that, so first of all, context: there was a video game called Active Shooter on Steam, and it's exactly what it sounds like. You are either the police stopping a school shooter, or you are the school shooter trying to shoot up the school and kill the police, because why? Now, people have made the argument, the really terrible argument, that video games are the cause of the mass shootings. I think what was the most recent one was porn is the cause of mass shootings too.
Oh goodness, I need people to shut up.
And this game literally does not help that. Now, there were people who were actually defending this game. I don't know what they happen to be smoking. I think I might want some on my vacation. But there were people defending this game because of those darn SJWs. We need to have things like that. Do you want to know why?
Wait, someone really said we need to have something like this?
If you were to beautifully go to the reviews and comments of this game.
What anti-PC culture bullshit?
Hold on. Ooh, hold on.
Ooh, I'm mad. Hold on. This is why I don't read comments.
Hold on. Lots of people's argument was that this game should not be censored. They viewed the pushback on this game as censorship, saying that, oh, just because it triggers you or just because it makes you uncomfortable, that doesn't mean that the game should be pulled from Steam. Now, that argument, though made many, many places across the internet, 100% does not apply here.
Okay, see, the thing is, every time something controversial comes up like this, and these people are like, OMG, you're censoring me, Y'all have 4chan. Y'all can stay on 4chan. Y'all have all these other places you can be. Leave place. Ooh, I'm mad. You know what? No, I'm not going to even say anything more because I'm angry.
Oh, well.
I am angry.
Isn't it good to know that the developer of Active Shooter is actually a troll?
I hope he gets shot in the foot.
Okay. No. No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, I don't. I am just angry.
Thank you.
But I do hope he steps on a Lego made of glass.
And you know what? That's fine. Valve did have something to say about this. This developer and publisher, in fact, a person calling himself Ata Beardiv, I'm almost certain I pronounced that incorrectly, who had previously been removed last fall when he was operating as BC Interactive and Elusive Team. Alta is a troll with a history of customer abuse, reporting publishing copyrighted material and user review manipulation. His subsequent return under the new business names was a fact that came to light as we investigated the controversy around his upcoming title. We are not going to do business with people who act like this towards our customers or Valve. Now, what I love is the fact of Valve actually responded, and obviously people have said that there is much trash on Steam. It was nice to see that Valve really stepped in and said, yeah, this, no. Like, this can't happen. Now, what people will make an argument for, the argument that people make for Active Shooter is a comparison between Grand Theft Auto, older games like Carmageddon, and that just the game that just asks for attention, Hatred.
Wait, is that even still on there?
Hatred, yeah.
Why?
Because at that time, school shootings weren't relevant. At that time, it was purely a video game that had nothing but bad press, but there was still people who defended it, saying, I'm going to throw money at this because I like this. So it had enough support and it just never went away. Now, the
humanity upsets me.
Unfortunately so. And I can honestly say that we, as a defender of video games, as the Phoenix Wright of video games.
There's a time and a place, and you picked the wrong wrong place.
Yeah, none of this.
The fact that the person is a troll just makes this even less defensible.
Like, I can't wait till we actually start doing videos with this, because then I just want to pop up with, here's that attention you ordered.
Yeah, no, because I make faces. Y'all don't understand how upset I am with this. I'm too old for this.
And
you young whippersnappers and your need to be edgy.
You know who else needed to be really edgy?
Can we drink after this?
Oh boy, we're gonna have some fun. Alright, so Button Mashers, I do hope that you follow me on Twitter, because I think perhaps about a week ago, I retweeted an article that I had read on oneangrygamer.net about this D-bag of the year so far.
Okay, you're not going to say this trash bin. There we go.
So there, and he still is, the senior video game developer at EA/Bioware, David Crook. Only moments after Total Biscuits... when Total Biscuit died of cancer.
Rest in peace.
A few moments afterwards, this gentleman decided to get onto Twitter to voice his concern, voice his opinion. It's a public forum. He can do whatever he wants, right? So here's the thing. It was what he had said. And I'm going to read it exactly as he wrote it. I have links on my website. Please take a look at this at your convenience. And here's what he said. May 24th, 2018. Weird. The world just felt a little better sometime around an hour, hour and a half ago. Maybe it was those new running shoes I got from my run home. And then he then replied. Oh, wait. I know. It's because Total Biscuit died. Hey, everyone. Watch this. I know it's rude to piss on someone's grave, but these axes aren't going to grind himself. Now, I don't care. You don't have to like anything that I say. You don't have to like anything that Ms. Duvall says. You don't have to like anything that is said by anybody here at Star Button Review. But I would hope and pray that one of the things you don't do is, in the event of my untimely death with no respawn, because unfortunately this video game I'm playing has permadeath, that you don't decide to, you know, piss on my grave like that.
Oh, I will come after you. I will find you.
In the event that I go first.
I will take in you.
So...
It's okay, Mr. Gamer. We'll just get some voodoo.
So, he went on further explaining explaining Total Biscuit's... I'm trying to find the best way. Basically, the history with Gamergate. And I realize that just saying that, people are perhaps a little upset. I don't care what side of the game... I don't care right now what side of Gamergate you're on. Because that's not the point of this right now. The point is that this gentleman right here decided to rant about how happy he was that someone died of a terminal disease only moments after he died. And that, for some strange reason, he still has a job. He is still employed by EA. But I talked to some people about that. And one of them presented something to me. As a PR person, Ms. Duvall, if you had someone like this, who did something like this, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you do something to them before EA or after EA? And I didn't think about that.
You mean E3?
I'm sorry, E3.
Honestly, it also has to do with things like contracts and things like that. Some companies can let you go just right then and there.
Right, like how much is this person worth to me? Because I'm going to have to spend something right now.
So, yeah, obviously EA and BioWare are, from what I've seen, have been kind of sort of quiet.
Honestly, I think I only
being
think...
being quiet might be their best bet.
Oh, right now, I agree. Because you don't want to say anything before E3. Bob Saget. You don't want to say anything before E3. You don't. People are going to be quiet about this now. But let the Washington Post, let a mainstream outlet get this and not just these non...
That was the other thing I was going to bring up. It's not like this was thrown on the Huffington, or God save you if you get thrown on the Huffington. Some people's careers have ended because of that. Or, like, you know, it's not, hasn't been thrown on anything like that. So obviously, even though this is kind of sort of a PR nightmare, it's still kind of sort of, you know, there's probably not a lot they can do. Maybe there is a lot that they can do. Who knows? I don't know. I just know that this guy's a total dick bag.
But sometimes people can do the exact same thing and then apologize for it. Like Anthem developer Mike Jungbluth, who once again went in on the fact that Total Biscuit died. And then he, unlike David Cook, oh, and by the way, after David Cook said all those really stupid things, he then protected his tweets on YouTube. On Twitter. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could put yourself in such a bubble where the only people who can talk to you are people who have the exact same opinion as you.
It's pretty much allowing people into your cute little echo chamber. You know, those things that people say social justice warriors are part of?
I guess. Now, here's the thing. So, in regards to what Mike Jungbluth has done, I feel, and perhaps, I don't know, I know that there was someone famous had already mentioned what I'm going to say, but it's the idea that in this day and age, I can say something really terrible or do something terrible and then immediately apologize about it, but and then get all the press for apologizing and what I did.
See, it's like this. It's, oh no, I did a thing. Let me apologize. And then all their fans will be like, well, he apologized. You know what? I stand by what my mama taught me. If you were really sorry, you wouldn't have done it in the first place. So you would have thought it through. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So I'm going to...
I don't accept half-ass apologies is what I'm saying.
And no.
And neither should you, Button Masters. Never accept a half-ass apology.
Yeah. And let's... You know what? First, just like with David, let's find out what it is that he said. Now, he retweeted a tweet from someone under the name A Sensual Bitch on Twitter. Now, A Sensual Bitch said, "Why are we not allowed to speak ill of the dead even if they sucked shit? If you wanted people to say you were a good person, maybe you should have been a good person." He then retweeted with a comment, "If we don't speak the entire truth of a person after they pass and allow their toxic behavior to go silent while only applauding their successes, we reward people for their accomplishments no matter how they achieve them, and that is a terrible precedent to set and allow."
Ooh, but I have a counter to that. How about saying it while they're still alive? Because, you know, challenging people to grow, that's a thing that you people just... That I don't get it. Also, I don't agree with everything that Total Biscuit did. But here's the thing.
First of all, nothing can happen because he's dead. But
okay, there's that. There's ways to go about it. To go about a person's livelihood without looking like an asshole. And this is coming from somebody who have seen some horrible, terrible people die in this way. But I didn't say anything because that's disrespectful. And if I did say something, it was constructive and it wasn't disrespectful. And it's like, yes, rest your soul. These are the horrible things you did. But you know what? Let's move forward and learn from their mistakes. That's how you should go about it if you want to talk about somebody's complete life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You don't just sit there and take the piss because you think you're cool.
Well, it seems as if Mike had a change of heart. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem as if David did. He did, on May 27th, tweet out his apology stating, "I am beyond sorry for the offensive comments I made about the passing of John Bain, Total Biscuit. There is no excuse for my behavior. Speaking out against someone in the way I did is something I will always regret." You're only going to regret it because people called you out on it. "My comments are entirely a reflection of me at my worst and most certainly not a reflection of the views and values of my colleagues at BioWare NEA, also known as, hey, okay, I said this, my company didn't, I still want to keep my job. I apologize to everyone I hurt during the difficult times they are facing, and I offer my full respect and condolences, especially to John's family and friends."
They don't want that. That is trash. I am so happy that their family, particularly his wife, has not said anything.
First of all, she knew this was coming. Second of all, what is responding to them going to do at all? It's not going to bring her husband back.
Well, the thing is that she could have responded. And this could have turned into a whole Pussy Tease versus Drake war.
I'm going to pretend I know what you're talking about.
It's okay, honey. I'll teach you the ways. I will show you the way. It's okay.
Thanks, Knuckles. but I'm glad she didn't, because it's pointless. Oh, you said something terrible, people called you out on it, and now you're going to apologize. Like the Kathy Griffin thing. That Kathy Griffin thing, where it's like, yes, I understand your whole free speech and everything like that, but what people don't realize is freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequence.
Yeah, I mean...
Come on!
Social commentary is so weird because people just go out of their way to just do some crazy stuff.
But, you know, what I will say is this. Something good did come out of it. Aside from the fact that SBR will no longer play or review EA BioWare games if I can help it, it also turns out that NerdCube will no longer cover BioWare games. So that's just one less outlet that BioWare is getting coverage from. And you know what? Okay, if you want to hurt a company, you got to hit them in the pockets.
Only one person has managed to be like, "Look, guys, this is just me. I'm a butthurt developer who didn't like that man who was for the
consumers.
For the consumers. I didn't like the fact that this man who was for the consumers took a piss on everything I ever did." Because that's what the first guy was bitching about. Who was he bitching about? Oh, he made fun of these games I worked on. And that hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gonna tell people to get a backbone when they don't like what you say? You really need to do the same damn thing. It goes both ways, Sugar Cube. God damn.
You know, I'm going to end this. I am going to end this on a positive note, though. SBR is going to be heading over to IndiePop. Bam! Positive note.
You're boom. So cheesy. But yes, Button Masters, if you have not been seeing my lovely put-together advertisement, we will be in IndiePopCon. We'll be there Thursday night, so don't even bother. I'll be tired. But from Friday to that Sunday, we will be out and about. Mr. Gamer will be in his cosplay. I'll probably be in a dressed down version of my cosplay for most of it because it's going to be hot and I refuse to sweat.
Okay, well, she's going to sweat. It's just going to be exactly how much. But yes, we will be at IndiePop. It's going to be fantastic. Definitely make sure you hit me up on all the social medias. Get all the pictures because I'm going to be doing an even better job of making sure to figure out how the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Snapchats and all those things work. Because I don't know how you guys do it. It's actually just really difficult sometimes.
Hey, you know what? That's going to pretty much be the end of our mini con season because we just have a lot going on this summer with other things coming up.
Yeah, and we got a lot of things behind the scenes for SBR that we're also trying to make sure that get done as well. So yeah, this will be the ending of SBR's con season 2018.
I mean, we might hit up Pocket Con again.
Maybe.
I mean, it's just a day con. We might do that again.
Yeah, we might.
But I also wanted the Button Masters to let us know what conventions they would want us to hit up next year.
You know what? By all means, yes, we can start getting all that press stuff together.
Okay. Oh, you know what? For someone who's sweating bullets about this, I'm the one who sends the emails.
Well, yes, I know, but
it has to do the research. You're the driver.
Yes.
Okay, we're not driving to San Diego. We'll fly.
Okay. All right.
You'll pay for it, but yeah, we'll fly.
So, with this being the longest podcast we've ever recorded, thank you for listening this long. I'm Mr. Gamer.
And I'm Kitty Duvall.
And we are signing off.